to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. First Nation leaders are calling for an investigation into all of the nearly 140 Canadian residential schools. That's after the report that remains of 215 children were found on the grounds of the former Kamloops Indian Residential School in British Columbia. The National Congress of American Indians repeated its call for transparency and accountability for boarding schools in the U.S. We'll get the latest perspective coming up right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A measure to ensure Native American students can wear spiritual or cultural items to high school graduation was approved Thursday by the California State Assembly. The measure passed with a vote of 64-0, introduced by Assemblymember James Ramos. Ramos says school officials continue to object when students wear eagle feathers, sashes with Native design, or beaded caps or medallions to graduation. The proposal requires the establishment of a task force to gather public comment, develop recommendations, and submit a report to the legislature in 2023. The measure will now be sent to the Senate. On Thursday, the Biden administration announced $1 billion in grants to invest in broadband on tribal lands. The Department of Commerce will make the funding available to tribal governments, tribal colleges and universities, and tribal organizations for broadband infrastructure. The announcement from the White House included remarks from Vice President Kamala Harris, Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland, and Shannon Holsey, President of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohegan Indians. Since the streaming service Peacock rolled out in April, the series Rutherford Falls has won kudos by critics and Native Americans for its depiction of Indigenous people and issues. KLCC's Brian Bull recently talked to one of its stars and writers.
Set in a fictional New York town where the equally fictional Minnetonka tribe runs its casino, Rutherford Falls takes on issues like historical monuments, capitalism, gaming, and social media culture with a comedic twist. Janice Schmieding plays Regan Wells, whose friendship with Nathan Rutherford, a proud descendant of the town's white founder, is strained as local history is revisited. Schmieding says as far as another season for the show goes,
I don't know anything about a season two. I wish I did. I've heard that a streaming service usually takes roughly 60 days after the drop of a show to analyze the viewer data. I'm pretty sure that 60 days falls somewhere in June, which means that's what I'm like crossing my fingers for. But as far as a season two on the writer's ends, we are ready. We are excited. And the feedback from Indian Country about the show has been overwhelming.
A Peacock representative also cannot say if and when a decision will be announced. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
Former Alaska State Senator Albert Kukesh will be laid to rest this weekend. The Alaska Native leader is being remembered for his leadership and work to preserve Tlingit culture and to protect subsistence rights. Emily Schwing has more.
Albert Kukesh spent 45 years at Sea Alaska, most recently as director of the Alaska Native Regional Corporation. Last September, he recorded a Tlingit story on video for Sea Alaska's Heritage Institute.
Think about the story and how it relates to our way of life as Tlingit people. It's an important part of learning.
Kukesh spent many years working toward language and cultural preservation. As co-chair of the Alaska Federation of Natives in the early 1990s, he urged the state to amend its constitution to prioritize hunting and fishing rights for rural residents. The measure failed, but his effort to preserve subsistence ways were not forgotten. Kukesh was first elected to Alaska's State House in 1997. He swapped his seat for one in the Senate in 2004, where he served for 8 years until he lost re-election. In his younger years, friends remember him fondly as a scrappy basketball player. He was the shortest person on his college basketball team. Despite his 5'6" stature, an Alaska newspaper labeled him the hustler. Kukesh passed away last week at his home in Angoon, Alaska. I'm Emily Schwing.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Now, National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for nearly 40 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com. This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination is provided by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who support this show. Info at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, coming to you live from my homelands, Oshirwut-Dui. The discovery of remains and 215 children on the grounds of the former Kamloops Indian Residential School in British Columbia has triggered a time of mourning. At the same time, First Nations in Canada are calling for accountability from the government and the Roman Catholic Church that operated the Canadian residential schools. They also want investigators and other residential school want investigators at other residential school grounds. And many people say it's an open secret that Indigenous children are buried in unmarked graves. A report by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission estimates 6,000 children died in Canada's residential schools from 1890 to 1969. Much like boarding schools in the U.S., many Indigenous children were forcibly taken from their families and subjected to abuse by teachers, nuns, priests, and people who ran the schools. In the light of the news, the National Congress of American Indians here in the States renewed calls for accountability for how Native American children were treated in many U.S. boarding schools. Today, we'll get updates and perspectives on this ongoing situation, and you can call our conversation too by dialing 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And also a trigger warning to our listeners. I know that today's topic is a difficult discussion, and we'll be talking about death and the traumatizing subject of abuse stemming from residential schools, which may trigger strong emotions. If this is a discussion that you're not ready to jump into today, we understand and wish you the best as you choose to skip today's program, but we'll be ready for you when you join us once again on Monday. And right now, it is my honor to bring in our guests. Joining us today from the Poundmaker First Nation in Saskatchewan, Canada, is Eleanor Sunchild. She is an Indigenous Cree lawyer who works with survivors of Indian residential schools. And Eleanor is from the Thunder Child First Nation. Our pleasure to have her here with us. Eleanor, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you very much.
And Eleanor, I know that this weighs very heavy, and even today there is something you're going to be attending, an observation to honor those whose lives were taken. And so I really appreciate you joining us and know just how heavy this topic is. And just want to get your thoughts about where we are right now in terms of the latest news released about this discovery of these stolen children. Is there anything you'd just like to start off with?
Well, I'd just like to acknowledge all of the survivors and all of the past survivors, the children who were discovered in the graves. That's just the first of one of many graves that will be discovered across our territory, across our whole country. That we had a high number of Indian residential schools in Saskatchewan. We had over, I think we had 22 at one point. And like you said in the opening comments, it's common knowledge that these graves exist. There's one here in Battleford where I live at the first industrial school in Western Saskatchewan at Battleford Industrial School. There's a grave of a number of children buried there. That has been already deemed a heritage site by some work of myself and colleagues. Of course, they discovered the grave at Kamloops. There's one in my home community that we know of. And that we're doing a remembrance of them today in our traditional way, Cree traditional way. And so I just want to acknowledge all of the communities across Turtle Island that are mourning and grieving. It's a really difficult time, but I've heard the stories of thousands of Indian residential school claimants, thousands. I helped them through what was called the IAP, or the way, the out-of-court abuse settlement process. And I heard these stories constantly, stories about murder, about children having to bury children of babies, all kinds of stories. It's a very triggering, very difficult topic. So I won't go into the stories because they really are very horrible. But we've known as Indigenous people that we have been targeted since colonization. And here's the proof.
And Eleanor, just knowing that these accounts, they are things that people have in their own life story, things that they remember. And for these things to exist and not be acknowledged until something like this happens, explain what that means and the emotions that go with that now that finally stories are believed because of this. What does that do?
Well, the truth is coming out. And I knew the people who work with the survivors themselves, I hope that they knew that people believed them, at least some people did. The rest of the world needs to learn about how Canada treated its Indigenous populations. And I hope that, I don't think that this will be forgotten anymore. I think that there will be a full-scale investigation, hopefully an inquiry. I read in the media, in the news today, that a number of documents have been destroyed by Canada. I hope that they didn't destroy all of them. We had a commission here in Canada called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and they did valuable work collecting the stories of the survivors. But the federal government did not always work cooperatively or in reconciliation with the TRC to get to the whole truth. And that's what we need. We need to get beyond the stories, right to the beginning when the first residential school was created, and look at all those documents. The church too, the Catholic Church has not been helpful. They have documents that they are not sharing, and they need to do that as well. So it's going to be a struggle. It's always a struggle when the truth comes out, especially when it's terrible and genocidal.
And Eleanor, just understanding what this will mean for you today to honor these lives in your home community, and the story that may be changing now that more people are seeing that this is real, this has happened, for you being able to acknowledge these lives, what does that mean?
We as Indigenous people have always acknowledged our ancestors. That's part of our culture, that what makes us unique as Indigenous people. We've always taken care of those who've gone before us. So this is not new, but it is very, it's so painful for every community, not just my community, to know that these children probably died horrible, terrible deaths that they did not deserve. So they need to be remembered all across our land.
And very traumatizing stories of the survivors too, and thinking of everything, these lives that you are honoring, those who are survivors. Eleanor, tell me about some of the effects that people may not understand directly connect to all of this, and especially some of the things we see high rates in our Native communities. Is there anything you want to share on that aspect?
There was a lot of abuse, severe physical in the schools. There was so much sexual abuse in the schools. I won't go into the stories, but the effects of especially sexual abuse, you see it in, so let's say a survivor left the school at 16 after years of being sexually abused. They have lost connection to their community. They feel betrayed. They can't trust anybody. The people who were supposed to take care of them subjected them to horrible, horrible abuses. When they got out, they're lost. A common theme, not everybody, but a common theme that I heard from survivors is that a lot of them turn to addiction, and that's understandable. The addictions lead to all kinds of negative outcomes. And that's the trauma. The trauma just seems to escalate because the survivors don't know how to cope with all of that trauma, the emotions, the grief. There is so much grief from Indian residential schools, too. A lot of people ended up dying young. Some of them chose suicide. Our prisons are full of Indian residential school survivors, male and female. The high number of missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada is directly related to Indian residential schools. So suicide, high addiction rate, the overrepresentation of Indigenous people in incarceration facilities, all of that is a direct impact from the generations and generations of people who went to Indian residential schools. And you can see, like, I totally believe that not one single person in Canada is not affected by the Indian residential schools, whether they be Indigenous or non-Indigenous, because those systems created the Indian residential schools. They created all of this harm, and now we see the results of that through what the survivors are going through, but also through what we call intergenerational impact. That's the families of the survivors, the families of the people who came home.
Sure. This all relates. Thank you for that. We got to go to a break here. There's more ahead. Join us. Phone lines are open. Making traditional Navajo textiles is a long and detailed process. Sheep herders care for the sheep all year long. Once shorn, sheep wool is cleaned, spun, and dyed. It's an age-old art form that includes science and culture and requires weavers to overcome an economical imbalance. Join us for the next Native America Calling or learn more about all of this.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on StrongHeartsHelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Masota Pueblo, and we are talking about residential schools and boarding schools today, and how have these institutions affected those in your family, and who should be accountable following the discovery of the remains of children, of many First Nations children that we are hearing about today. Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848 is the number. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I'm not sure if she's with us still. If she is, I'd like to talk with her. Eleanor Sunchild, are you still there?
I am.
And Eleanor, I know you got to get going now. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with?
Everybody needs to remember take time for yourself, because this week has been very hard on all Indigenous people in Canada, in the United States, probably across the world, because we've all been subject to colonization, oppression, and it's very important that we take the time to care for ourselves, whether that be through ceremony or just taking time to do what you need to do to provide self-care. Very important.
And Eleanor, are there any contexts for the work that you are doing or national numbers in case somebody needs assistance or someone to talk to?
I have a law office. I can refer people to support line. There's a national health support line here in Canada too. I don't have the number right in front of me, but I can leave my office number if anyone needs anything. It's 306, that area code, 306-937-6154. And I'm always willing to listen to survivors if they need to talk. I've been doing that all week since the news broke.
Well, Eleanor, I wish you the best as you continue this work in helping those survivors and families. And we really appreciate you sharing your work with us today. Eleanor Sunchild, an Indigenous Cree lawyer who does work with survivors of Indian residential schools. Thank you for joining us. And you can join us, too, by dialing in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and take a call. We have Jennifer in Algodones, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Thank you for joining us, Jennifer. Go ahead. You're on air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. I'm having a very strong reaction to this. I'm non-native. And I just want to say that this is savagery. It's terrorism. It's absolutely, I always knew about the boarding schools, but 215 is truly, truly shocking. And all I can think is that there's so much that needs to be done in reparation, and I'm tuned in to hear what people say about that. But the first thing to mind for me is that the U.S. and Canadian governments should be putting millions more dollars in support of Indigenous language programs, because languages were one of the first things suppressed. So language and cultural preservation needs to be bumped way up all across North America by the governments. And I even think that white mainstream public schools and colleges should be offering these languages. That's what I have to say. And it's just, I think it needs to be called what it is, savagery. Thank you.
Jennifer, thank you for your call. Join us too. Share your thoughts. What's your reaction to all of this? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And right now we're going to go to Penticton, British Columbia. With us on the line is Grand Chief Stuart Phillip. He is the president and Grand Chief of the Union of British Columbia Indian Chiefs and former chief of the Penticton Indian Band. Grand Chief Phillip, thank you for being with us. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Good morning.
Great to have you here. And Grand Chief, of course, your thoughts with this latest discovery and what it means for Indigenous nations there in Canada. And as you hear, people are thinking about it too here in the States. Go ahead.
Well, to put this into historical context, Canada being a settler nation, being a colonial country, so to speak, our history is deeply steeped in racist notions detrimental to the first peoples, the indigenous peoples of these lands. And all of the legislation and policies were directed towards indigenous people in terms of denial of our ability to hold timber rights, water rights, to engage legal counsel, to assemble. We were restricted. We couldn't gather in groups larger than five. We were forbidden to talk about the outstanding land question and so on and so forth. The residential school system was very, very deliberate in its intention, and that was to forcefully assimilate our children and our people into so-called mainstream Canadian society. It was very harsh, very brutal. Children were denied food. Children starved to death. Children were subjects of scientific experiments around how the body reacts to starvation. The general public is completely unaware and uninterested and uncaring in many ways about the racism that exists in this country, not only perpetrated against Indigenous people, but Black people and people of color. And I would suggest that that's a global issue. And the residential school is just, an example, the discovery, the grisly, horrific discovery of the 215 children's bodies in unmarked graves has brought this issue to the front burner, so to speak. And it's caused enormous trauma and re-triggered residential school survivors right across this country and obviously into the U.S. So we need accountability. We need a very comprehensive forensic investigation into this, similar, based on international standards that have been utilized in Rwanda, Kosovo, Guatemala, and we need accountability on part of governments, on the part of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, on the Department of Indian Affairs, and so on and so forth.
And Grand Chief, for those who are just learning about this story, how was all of this discovered?
We've known, as your other callers have indicated, for many, many decades that there were unmarked graves as part of the very horrible residential school experience. But the discovery of the 215 bodies through using seismic science has provided irrefutable, undeniable proof that those stories, those rumors, were based on, the terrible fact that it really happened to our children. And we must remember, they were children.
Yes, and I think that makes, things devastating. And just hearing about that and thinking of how this discovery has woken up things that people dealt with when they were young and hearing about some of this. And I definitely want to say that my thoughts go out to those who are survivors, the families, and all those connected to this. And just hearing about this today, I'm wondering your thoughts on all this. You can share your thoughts. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Grand Chief, hearing a number like 215, that also means 215 communities, families, and just thinking about this, for you to just make it clear what this really meant, that if these many lives were missing, what did that mean on the end of the families? They just got no kind of story or acknowledgement of what happened to their children. For 215 children to go missing, that means a lot, and I'm wondering, if you can explain that side of stuff.
Well, again, it all stems and flows from the ugly racist notion that somehow Indigenous people, Black people, people of color have no value in society, that they have no worth and therefore can be terribly abused with impunity. And the discovery of the 215 bodies is irrefutable proof that the residential school system, much like the boarding school system in your country, was genocidal in its intention, genocidal in its purpose, and genocidal in the way it was, the way it was administered. That's an undeniable fact. The Kamloops site is a crime scene. And the children were denied the fundamental human right of, a dignified end to their lives in terms of proper process of documentation and having their families attend. And you know, our cultural ways have some very sacred ceremonies when somebody passes and the family and community gather to honor those people that have went on ahead. And all of these children were denied those fundamental human rights. It's absolutely, it's ugly. Racism is ugly. Racism kills.
And Grand Chief, I'm also wondering, too, how this institution and entities connected to it explained away these many missing lives. Did they say that they ran away, or what were some of the reasons, or was there any explanation, or parents were just told, I don't know, tell me more.
Yes. Back in the days of the residential school, I mentioned earlier in this call that there was a heavy repression and oppression of our people. We couldn't travel between our communities without seeking approval through a travel permit system. We were absolutely terrified of the authorities, of the police that came into our communities and took our children by force. In many cases, they were loaded in travel or in cattle trucks and taken to the residential school, which is a 4 or 5 hour trip by truck. And children weren't allowed to relieve themselves or anything along the way. This is was the reality at that point, and still is a reality. The racism, the ugly racism, is still very much part of our Indigenous lives. And there has been an absolute enormous number of meetings that have taken place since the discovery between our political organizations, dialogue with the highest levels of government, and we're looking towards bringing forward a high-powered commission of sorts to oversee this forensic investigation to ensure that we get to the bottom of this and identify those poor, unfortunate souls and the families and our grassroots community. Our spiritual people are very much involved in these discussions. I want to express my absolute respect and admiration for Chief Roseanne Kasmer from the Kamloops community, who has provided amazing leadership in the face of this, this horrific discovery.
Indeed. Well, thank you for that. And you know what? I got a caller on the line again. If you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to say hi to Susan in Rexford, Idaho, tuned in on KBYU. Thanks for giving us a ring, Susan. You're on air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a non-native white person, and I have heard stories of these residential schools and the terrible things that were done to children and families for some time, and I am heartbroken over the discovery of these children. And I'm just wondering, how, as a non-native, can I use my voice to advocate and insist on some type of acknowledgement and reparation for some of these wrongs that have been? I know nothing can heal, can change what has happened. But what can non-natives do to support
some
thank
type
you, Susan.
Of okay, thank you.
And Grand Chief, any thoughts for Susan? We got about a minute before break.
Okay, the rules are speak up, stand up, and show up. There are many, many rallies and things to draw public attention to the ugly reality of racism and how lethal it is. And we need to support all voices that are speaking out against, you know, these horrible colonial history. But we must bear in mind it's happening right now, this very minute. And we have to get out and support that voice that calls on accountability from the governments for their, you know, for the atrocities that have taken place in all of our lives.
Thank you for that, Grand Chief. And we got to take a pause here for a moment. But again, if you would like to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to hearing what you're thinking today and just how much this resonates to what is going on in our own tribal community, stories that have been passed down through the generations. You can share those thoughts too. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. And if it feels more comfortable to call in anonymously, you can do that. We'll take your calls. I understand that this is a real heavy topic today and appreciate you being with us and maybe even educating yourself on exactly what our First Nations are facing in Canada and also how it relates to nations here in the United States. Again, the phone lines are open. You can join us. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your call.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are focusing on the accountability and reconciliation for the atrocities Indigenous children suffered in different residential schools and boarding schools. And is there a way the U.S. and Canadian government and the churches who ran the schools can do right by the survivors today? Join our conversation. We're at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. With us today is Grand Chief Stuart Phillip, and he is a president and grand chief of the Union of British Columbia Indian Chiefs. Our pleasure to have him here with us today. And Grand Chief, I'm curious about your thoughts of the reaction of the federal government there in Canada to all of this. And what are they saying? What are they doing? And how do you feel about it?
Well, you know, quite frankly, we're sick and tired of Prime Minister Trudeau and his theatrical, tearful apologies, his empty promises. He's always indicating that these things take time, and it's so trite. He's always telling us that we're in this together, and so on and so forth, but. The Truth and Reconciliation came forward with 94 calls to action. And out of that incredibly comprehensive input by residential school survivors, they haven't carried out but a handful of those recommendations. One of the recommendations was to look into the residential school sites in regard to unmarked graves, and they haven't went near that. And they had the audacity the other day to announce, I think it was $21 million that had been announced 7 years ago. And they haven't done a damn thing with that funding to apply to the 94 recommendations. So that gives you an idea how our government simply do not want to open the lid on this box, Pandora's box. There's no political will within government to engage in this issue in any serious manner.
And Grand Chief, speaking of opening that box even further, what are your thoughts and the calls to have this kind of investigation done on the grounds of other residential schools? What are your thoughts on further discoveries that may be made?
Well, I believe that we haven't heard the worst of this. Without question, there will be similar discoveries at other residential school sites across Canada. The stories that surrounded the Kamloops Indian Residential School are very, very similar to the stories that were shared through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission process, where survivors were allowed to share their stories in a very public way through a hearing process. And again, the government just simply ignored that and offered these incredibly smarmy, you know, platitudes that are absolutely disgusting, but no concrete action. Now we have an opportunity through creating a very, very high-level human rights-style investigation, a forensic investigation involving the police and these are crime scenes. They have to be treated accordingly.
Well, a lot of investigation ahead, it sounds like. Thank you for that, Grand Chief. I got a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and say hi to Michael, who's in Jemez, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Michael, thanks for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, this topic and what I've heard so far reminds me of the movie Iron Horse, and it shows the atrocities, and then also it's in a Catholic boarding school session in the States. And also there's a phase of it that you guys are talking about burials, but in that movie, which is also co-produced by Clint Eastwood, there was incinerators made out of 50-gallon drums. The drums were cut in half, and there were strategic holes drilled the child was laid underneath, and it acted like an incinerator. So I was thinking how many children have been incinerated and just to ash. So, you know, it's if anybody wants to see how atrocities are, you should watch that movie Iron Horse.
Sure. And those lives that are lost that we'll never know about, too. I know that there are families that are connected to them. They're still grieving them. Thank you for your call, Michael, here in New Mexico, tuned in Jemez. We now go to Cynthia, who's in Spokane, Washington, tuned in on KSFC. Thank you for giving us a ring, Cynthia. You're on air.
Good morning. I wanted to call in because I was raised in Southern California, and I went to a small private Christian school. And we used to collect clothing for what they told us for the orphans in New Mexico. And I'm thinking back to that thing as an adult looking back. I'm thinking, were those residential schools that we were doing this for? And it just makes my heart sick thinking they were using children to help, perpetuate this stuff. And it really made me just freak out looking back at it. And I read about Kamloops, about the 250 children found there. And I'm white. I'm Caucasian. It makes me sick to know that there are so many missing women, Indigenous women of color, that are just ignored. And I just don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to do with the feelings, the fact that I might have been hooked into it. I don't know. I just want you to know my heart is just sick thinking about all these children and the fact that, like the chief said, that the Prime Minister Trudeau is not doing anything to help find those children and to help bring everybody home. And we're having the same problem in the United States. we're just ignoring it, and that's not right. I don't know what to do. What can we do to help?
All right. Well, I appreciate your call and your thoughts. Cynthia there in Spokane, Washington. I'll turn to our next guest, see if they have any thoughts for you. On the line today, out of Delta in Canada, in British Columbia, Angela White is with us. She is Executive Director of the Indian Residential School Survivor Society of British Columbia. And she is Shanate Mukh. And it's our pleasure to have her with us. Angela, thank you for joining us. And any words for our caller, Cynthia?
I'll start off by saying thank you for all of the previous other speakers. I'm humbled to be on the same talk show with Grand Chief Stuart Phillips. He's always a role model here in British Columbia. At our organization, we have set out a few online, I guess, how we can actually look about what people can do in a constructive way. And I think I want to reiterate some of what Grand Chief Stuart Phillips says is, like, be a good student. Start learning about that history. Start understanding. Start acknowledging. Don't let you sit in silence anymore. Stand up and make those corrections on negative stereotypes and racial connotations that we see. Read up on the 94 recommendations, especially the ones that are directly related to the missing and murdered children at the Indian residential schools. And those are recommendations 71 to 76. Look at and understand the recommendations from the Missing, Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls report here in Canada. Look at the BC inquiry report into the Indigenous treatment in healthcare. Start demanding social justice from your local politicians. Don't try to speak for or on behalf of Indigenous people. Just sit back and listen and be an active listener, and don't try to impose your will or your way of, bringing them through to coping with this horrific history. Be patient, be empathetic, be receptive, raise awareness in your communities and even extend a hand to local Indigenous communities that are doing similar work.
And it's interesting hearing your recommendations, and that applies to a lot of different issues that we're facing in our communities. And I can see how a lot of that thought can apply as well. And so, Angela, so one thing that we have not mentioned is accountability for the institution that started this, including the church. Is there anything you want to start off with that?
I think a lot of that is just holding them accountable. Like, we're not sitting back anymore. The grassroots people are tired. The grassroots people want to see real action. Words are no longer enough. We need real action and swift action behind those words immediately. That if they are truly, truly going to be held accountable, then let's look at some amazing reconciliatory acts that the federal and the church governments can do. And I think that's leading back to what one previous caller had said, is basically start setting up, reviving the things that these institutions have taken away, such as language, such as culture, such as the traditions, and bringing it forward in a good way. We're still sitting here in Canada waiting for the Pope to, he's never apologized. And honestly, the survivors of residential school, I don't think if he did it today, it would have any valid meaning behind it, because he had decades to do so. If the federal government is truly going to be providing, accountability here, let's start by looking at providing clean water across this country to all of the Indigenous communities that still have to truck in their water because it's unsafe to drink. Let's look at things like the housing, safe housing in all of these rural and remote Indigenous communities. Let's look at breaking down and dismantling the systemic racism in all of these other institutions where Indigenous people don't feel safe going into when they're supposed to be safe. We cannot fix the past, but let's look at how we can make a brighter future for not just the Indigenous population, but the entire country here, or I guess North American country here, so that we can actually do better.
Thank you for that. And Angela, I know that a lot of this has brought up a lot for survivors of residential schools and just hearing these headlines and seeing it in different places. I'm also seeing lots of reactions on social media. Your thoughts to the survivors and coping with these times?
I think I want to start by making a link with what Grand Chief had stated. These are genocidal acts. When you actually look at the definition of genocide, when I am talking to them, we look at what it really means. And in 1948, the Genocide Convention created a definition, and that definition stated that if there is any intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group, such as killing members of a group, causing serious bodily or mental harm, deliberately inflicting on a group conditions of life to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures to prevent birth, and forcibly transferring children to one group to another. In 1952, when Canada was developing the criminal code, they left out killing members of the group and forcibly transferring children from one group to another, which I don't think was a coincidence at all. These institutions, and I refuse to call them schools, even though that's what the guise of it was, is really looking at about silencing and breaking down and destroying a race of people that were there to begin with, that when these children were brought in, they were told that their voices were meaningless, that no one would ever believe them. And when you look at their entire lives and how they were holding on to those stories, their life, their experience, that held true up until these 215 children were uncovered. And that begs the question, why does it have to take such a smack in the face for these voices to be believed? They're hurting. They're angry. They're not waiting anymore for any action from the government. And I think they're wanting to see, they're tired of people telling them what's best for them and want to actually take hold of the reins and move forward the best way they know how.
Thank you for that, Angela. And we got to wrap things up. Any final comments?
I think the only final comment that I want to say is when you look at the Indian residential schools in Kamloops, that there were only 52 documented deaths at that school that the church and the federal government had documented. The time now is to stand up and not sit back and hope for change. We need to be forceful and aggressive in making that change and holding the government and church accountable for their actions, just to ensure that this has no place in society whatsoever.
Angela White, thank you for sharing those words. Thank you for your time here today. And that's it for our hour today. Again, thank you to everybody we heard from, including our callers. Also, thank you to Eleanor Sunchild and Chief Grand Chief Stuart Phillip. And we hope you will join us again for another lineup of discussions connected to our Native Nations. And again, I know today's topic was heavy, and appreciate you being here with us and learning more. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Senior producer is Monica Brain. Associate producer is Andy Murphy. Marino Spencer is our engineer. Nola Davis-Moses is the distribution director, and Bob Peterson is the network manager for Native Voice One. Clifton Chadwick is our resource development specialist. Antonia Gonzalez, the anchor and producer for National Native News. Charles Sather is our chief of operations. The president and CEO of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is Jacqueline Salee. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood. Thank you for spending another week with us. We'll meet you here on Monday.
Support by the Sioux Trading Post, whose special selection of dried herbs are chosen for superior quality, and many sage, sweetgrass braids, and red willow bark and cedar are wild-crafted. All available at SiouxTrading.com. Wopila. This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination is provided by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who support this show. Info at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus.
Squeezed the yawi osta uniela dege chakani hai. Tatlilo star si yunda de nitalo his selena higo teha a yella new dan the dega access deski. With tatla no hetan yawia a yella new dan the dega an access deski. Naski ye get stella at healthcare.gov 1-800-318-2596. He are get to know some Medicare, hella Medicaid unadoshka e.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.